The following podcast was produced in Virginia Beach, Virginia by Pungo Publishing Company, LLC.
Hi, this is John Doucette. I'm the editor of the Princess Anne Independent News, a community newspaper based in Virginia Beach, Virginia. We cover the southern part of the city, including rural communities and Knott's Island, North Carolina. This is the second edition of an occasional podcast related to stories that we've covered in the paper or events that are happening in our area. I spoke with writer Tony Guagente recently at the Oceanfront Area Library. Tony came to Virginia Beach to cover the city for the Virginian Pilot newspaper, where we worked together. She wrote for the Pilot for years, including her role in a partnership between print and cable news organizations and with a program for teen writers. After she left the newspaper in 2009, she emerged as a communications consultant and media manager, and her clients have included Virginia Beach Mayor Will Sessoms. All along, Tony has kept on writing. Her new book is 100 Things to Do in Virginia Beach Before You Die, which collects a number of destinations for both locals and tourists. Some of them are off the beaten path, some are well known, and some are part of the fabric of the rural communities our newspaper regularly covers. We'll be right back with Tony Guagente. All right, I'm speaking with Tony Guagente, the author of 100 Things to Do in Virginia Beach Before You Die. The book is readily available throughout Hampton Roads and online through booksellers such as Amazon and Barnes & Noble. The book also has a website, www.100thingsvb.com or 100thingsvb.com. The book also has a Facebook page, and you can message the author via the Facebook page. Tony, thank you for joining me. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me. I'm great.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to finally talk to you. I will note that we are meeting in a library meeting room, and there are young people outside and somewhere a toilet flushing. You may hear the toilet flushing. It's part of the ambiance.
Yes, absolutely.
And then you're welcome to yell out the door and ask the children to stop being young and happy. So can you tell me a little bit about how this this book project came about, please?
Reedy Press, who's a publisher, decided maybe 3 or 4 years ago to start a series of books about 100 Things to Do Before You Die in cities across the country. So Virginia Beach, being the stellar city it is, greatest city in the world, they approached a convention and visitor bureau. They wanted to find an author who might be interested in doing the book. The person they approached actually had written a book already about Virginia Beach, walking Virginia Beach, but so she didn't feel that she had the time, and suggested that I write it. So they reached out to me. I sent them a writing sample, and the rest, they say, is history. We signed a contract and set up a deadline, and literally about 7 short months later, the book was on its way to being published.
That's amazing. So this is part of a series that Reedy Press does with different places around the country.
Chicago, Detroit. Right. They're pretty much all over. It doesn't have to be a big city, and they really I think are making their way through right now.
Good.
Most of them. So.
Yeah. So. Had you wanted to write a book or do something like this?
I thought about writing a book as, a former journalist, a former writer. I think we all sort of think we have a book inside of us. I have one that's it's kind of a personal book that I am not ready to write right now. So this was kind of a good way to see if I could do it, see if I could, meet the deadline. And also, it was just a fun book to write.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a great book to write. I mean, when they said it's 100 things, I mean, I literally came up with like 70 off the top of my head, having lived here 20 years. And as you're a reporter, you're out there walking the beat, meeting people, going places, that a lot of people don't get to go here. So also in my capacity as media manager for the mayor of Virginia Beach, following him around, taking photos, doing his social media, found a lot of other very cool places as well. So I felt like I had a grasp on the things to do here.
Great. And I think one of the things I dig about the book is that there are, I know a lot of these places, and you and I've talked.
You actually gave me one.
I did give you one.
Monks. We will get to monks. But yeah, John, you know, you got to ask the people who you know also who've lived here and who also get off the beaten path. Yeah. And that was one of them. So, yeah.
So I wonder what was one of the first ones that came to mind when you thought about doing this?
Parasailing.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you done that?
I've done that. I have done that. I actually did a story for the paper on it after I left the paper. Mm-hmm. I was like, I've always wanted to parasail. I'm going to go parasail. And so they sent a photographer out, and we did a tandem parasail down at the ocean front. Mm-hmm. And it was just so cool to look at just to look out on not just the ocean front, but you could see all the way down the highway and all the trees, and it was just really a beautiful day, so it was nice.
Yeah, I mean, how high up there were you?
I think there's a limit on what they let you go.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 800 feet. It's something around. It's not too high.
Yeah.
But it's high enough. But there is definitely a limit that they go, and you're basically taken off from the back of a boat.
Wow.
It's very cool.
Yeah, I've never done that.
Yeah, you should do it.
I've never thought about doing that.
Yeah, that was like one of the cool things I've done here. Mm-hmm. Also kayaking. I mean, just kayaking. You know, and the first time I kayaked, it was literally off of Sandbridge Road.
Yeah.
You know, down by, what is the Locust Garden?
Yeah, the creek.
Yeah, by the creek. Yeah. And we just sort of put our canoes in and paddled up, the ins and outs and the crevices and that sort of stuff. So,
yeah. I see people going to Lotus Garden Park.
Yeah, Lotus Garden Park.
And people going out of there all the time.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, just those sorts of things are, more people need to do it. Now, I haven't stand-up paddleboarded yet. Although it's in the book, because it's sort of like do a water sport. So maybe one day I'll stand up paddleboard.
Have you gone kayaking regularly, or is that kind of one?
I've gone twice. I went down in Sandbridge a few months ago, down by the Baja.
Oh yeah, that's great.
Yeah, and that was, and then we went to Blue Pete's, which was a restaurant in the book. So that was a lot of fun.
That's great. Yeah. Now Courtney and I, my wife and I, did we did the kayaking trip that they do. I think it was down near Back Bay near the. It was from one of the parks.
Did you do the dolphin?
No, it wasn't the dolphin one. It was just through the bay.
Okay.
And I'm not a coordinated human being. My wife is, but I'm not.
I got stuck in the reeds.
Yeah.
I just remember how to back up. I was like, before like a water moccasin or something got me, it was like, I was just, my friends were sort of laughing at me because they're out in the open and I'm stuck in the reeds. Yeah. That was fun.
Yeah. So what was the first location, like destination type place that you thought of?
Well, I thought of, which is the number one, I'm in the book, the number one thing, which it just so happens to be, was Gringo's.
Mm-hmm.
Gringo's Tacos was one of the things fish tacos is one of the things I thought of as well.
And where's Gringo's?
Gringo's is off of Norfolk Avenue.
Yeah.
It's, again, it used to be a hole in the wall.
Yeah, it's in Chatillon, right?
It's like a small kitchen.
It's
in Chatillon by the art place over there. And.
Yeah.
It literally was like it literally was as big as this room almost when I first went there.
I've never eaten there.
Great margaritas.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they, luckily the place next door, excuse me, opened up and then they expanded.
Right. So they're across the hall from the brewery.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
exactly.
I used their bathroom once, but I've never eaten there.
Yes.
They were super
Back
nice
Bay.
About the bathroom.
Back Bay. Is that where Back Bay?
Back Bay Brewing,
Back Bay, which is sort of is in the book as well.
Yeah.
The breweries we have here, at least at the time of print, are all in the book as well. At least you get a list of them.
Yeah.
But the first one that was here that I went to was Reaver Beach, but it was Virginia Beach Brewing Company.
Right.
And something happened with the name. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, they
ended up changing it. Yeah. And they also were in a room about this size when they opened up. You'd go in and there'd be this little bar, and you know you could do the tasting. You know, long before Green Flash, long before Young Veterans. And so they've expanded as well out there in the Light Industrial Park off of London Bridge, and they. So I wanted to give them a sort of a first mention since they were here first. I know Virginia Beach has had a couple in the past, but they're no longer here, like in the 80s,
oh, yeah.
90s.
Yeah.
There was one out by Steele.
There's been a
German brewer.
So. I think so. There's been a lot of new breweries popping up. I mean, even the past few months, and.
You know. Probably miss some.
Yeah.
I mean, Wasserhund is near my house, which I love. Yeah. I think they have really great beer.
Yeah.
They're in there, though. They're already in there. And Pleasure House.
Yeah, not been to the ones on the north part of the city.
Yeah,
I've been to the ones
on
the south
part. There. Pleasure House, which is not on Pleasure House Road, which I thought was kind of funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, there are plenty of great little spots now that you can find good beer.
Good. What were some places that you found out about after you compiled your list?
One was that you could actually go and sit in on a taping of the 700 Club.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. So, I did that.
I've done that, by the way.
Yeah, I've done that too. I did it. I went. Pat was there. It was not a fill-in. Pat Robertson was there.
Yeah.
Did you take the tour?
I have taken the tour. I've done a lot of stories there, mostly when I worked at the Virginia Pilot.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. Do you remember when MC Hammer tried to do kind of he came back after doing the gangster rap thing and did kind of like a Christian.
Oh,
yeah. He had kind of a Christian phase, and he actually did the 700 Club. And
really?
I wrote a story about it.
So you were there for that.
That was when I was at the Pilot. And that was years ago. I think he just did an interview, I remember.
That's cool. I didn't know that.
But it was pretty interesting.
Well, I mean, it's a major network.
Yeah.
It is. I don't think people realize it. They have people all over the world.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's neat to go in there and see the set and, you know.
And they have the restaurant, too, the Founders Inn.
We actually, I think when we made our reservation, you get a deal.
Yeah.
Somehow. So it was like you get, you know, whatever set amount for the buffet for the restaurant for lunch. So you go in the morning whenever the taping is like 9.
Yep.
It lasts a couple hours because then you take the tour and then you go to lunch and you get a good, great, it's a great restaurant too. It's a great meal.
Yeah.
I actually got a chopped salad.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Literally they chop it into little pieces.
And
you can eat it like you're not cutting your lettuce and stuff like
that. Oh, yeah.
It's cool.
I like to think that at that their buffets, that there's lots of meats being cut off things onto your plate.
Right. Yes.
Like in the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Like, you know? Like the roast beast.
Roast beast.
Yeah. So it's very high. It's very high end. It's very nice.
Yeah.
And actually, for one of our former colleagues comes in sometimes with her mother, Nia Meeks.
Oh, yeah.
She will come in from Philly.
Oh, yeah. Nia's great.
And they will stay at the Founders Inn.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
that's
interesting. And I'll meet them over there. And they love staying there, and they love the restaurants. And
yeah.
I've met them there a couple times when they've been in town.
As I remember, the tapings are free, right? You just sign up.
Yeah. You have to call and sign up beforehand, and you know, only so many spots. And I had explained what I was doing. You know, like I had written the book and I hadn't come out yet, and I wanted to go and. They were kind enough to tell me that there would be a lot of kids on one day.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'll go another day.
Yep.
Thank you for the choice. So that was very nice. But they are very busy.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people who want to go. So I highly suggest that people make call and give it a couple days and get in there and see. It's really cool. And it gets cold in there, by the way. They hand out blankets.
Right.
Do you remember? They have blankets for you.
Yeah, that's not unusual.
Yeah, right. Not in TV. They have to keep the equipment, I guess, at a certain temperature.
Yeah. Whatever, so. I did, when I worked in New York, I did actually just a story on going to studio audiences, and I went to Ricky Lake.
Was it 40 degrees?
It was really cold and really weird.
Because of Ricky, or was it just
No, she was
logistics.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think I actually met her. I met some of the other ones, but because I did a bunch of them.
That's fun.
But they're, you know, for these shows that tape regularly, and I know that this isn't the case for 700 Club, which has kind of a fairly dedicated fan base, but the shows up in New York, they would actually have people who would go on the street and recruit people to come sit to fill the audience, and part of it was giving them, as I remember, Pop-Tarts and juice. That was it. So
I think I need something more than that.
Yeah, I don't really recall whether I broke my journalistic ethics and had a Pop-Tart, but if I did,
65-cent Pop-Tart. Yeah.
It was probably strawberry frosted.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's
really good.
Nobody's going to say anything.
You should probably stop talking about this now.
Yeah,
so,
that's good. Let's segue into something else.
Let's take just a quick break. Tony Guigenti is the author of 100 Things to Do in Virginia Beach Before You Die, and we'll come back and we can talk a little bit about some of the recommendations in the book that deal with the southern part of the city, which, of course, is what we cover.
Absolutely.
Right? Be right
Thank
back.
You.
Welcome Welcome back. I'm talking with Tony Guigenti, the author of 100 Things to Do in Virginia Beach Before You Die. The book is readily available throughout Hampton Roads and online through booksellers such as Amazon and Barnes & Noble. It also has a website, www.100thingsvb.com or 100thingsvb.com. And, of course, it's on social media, and you can reach Tony through the book's Facebook page. So I wanted to ask you now, Tony, about some of the locations in the southern part of the city. That's kind of the main coverage area for our newspaper, and I know there are a number of places. So maybe let's start with the unofficial southern bureau or Creed's bureau of the Princess Anne Independent News, which is Monk's.
Yes. Yeah. I honestly hadn't heard of Monk's for some odd reason, and as I was doing my my due diligence by asking people who'd lived here a long time to, you know, what would you, you know, name me some of the places that you go, and honestly, I think it was hard for people all of a sudden to go, like, wait a minute, let me think about this, and 9 times out of 10, I knew the place that they were talking about.
Probably Taco Bell,
yeah,
right?
Taco Bell, which is my favorite, the corner of Independence and Virginia Beach Boulevard.
Oh, really? I'm more of a Redmond Commons Taco Bell fan, but to each their own.
But that Taco Bell was one of the first I went to when I was coming down. I got the job offer at the Pilot. Yeah. Before I took it, drove down here to see where the Beacon building was, which is clearly no longer. It's now a parking lot, but... That Taco Bell spoke to me that day 20 years ago.
Oh, gosh. No, for those who are listening outside of the area, one of the busiest Taco Bells in the world is near Town Center of Virginia Beach. And it's like everything else is a skyscraper around there or parking for skyscrapers, and then there's the Taco Bell.
Everything's sort of changed in that area except the Taco Bell. It's the mainstay right there.
Right.
So, but it is not in the book. No offense to the owners of the Taco Bell. I do visit you probably more than I have a lot of the other places in here. But so you immediately said you have to go to Monk's, and I'm like, Monk's? Mm-hmm. What is this Monk's you talk about? So went down by myself, on an afternoon, beautiful afternoon, and did you tell me it was cash only? Because
I think I did.
Because I think I brought cash.
Yeah.
I had to bring cash because it's cash only, which cracked me up in the beginning. I walked in. There were several people at the table right when you walk in and solving the world's problems, as I like to say. One of the guys called me sir. I thought that was kind of funny. Mm-hmm. Endearing, I suppose. Then I sat.
Possibly alcohol related.
Yeah, I think it may have been. and then I sat at the bar, and the bartender, and I wish I remember her name, but that's what happens when you're getting older. She's been there forever, so she was quite lovely and walked me through the possum, the logo, and I got some fried okra and a lovely hamburger, which literally was juicy as all get out, and I had a couple beers, and that was a wonderful time at Monk's.
Yeah.
Just took in the sights, listened to people, revel that you looked out into a field, from the open door, the door's open, very welcoming, and need to get back down there with some of my friends.
Yeah, Monk's Place was one of my favorites because I actually, after we moved to Pungo, because I lived in Portsmouth with my family before we moved out here, my wife's family farms in Pungo, so we wanted to get there for a long time. I actually didn't know many places to go, and at the time I was teaching at ODU, and believe it or not, Monk's Place has Wi-Fi. So I would actually go there and drink diet root beer, which I'm pretty sure they stocked just for
working.
Me. While I was working.
Yeah.
And grade papers at the back corner table at Monk's Place because they had Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
And even locals who know Monk's Place, because it's in the Creed section, which is a rural section of Virginia Beach, south of Pungo.
You're almost to the North Carolina line.
Oh, yeah. You're pretty much there. But even locals don't know that they have Wi-Fi there.
I didn't. I wasn't there, I guess, with my laptop or anything like that. So good to know.
Yeah, I know how to party. So
you think Uber picks people up there, too? You think that would be an issue?
Uber does. We have Uber in the county.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I was concerned about that.
Yeah.
I didn't know if there was a line of demarcation for Uber once you hit,
hit
the county line.
So, Tullabrook aside, this is a very undisciplined podcast. I apologize. But so I deliver to our newspaper is really small, and so I do a lot of the deliveries myself. and a lot of times I have to deliver overnight. And so Young Veterans Brewing Company is one of the new breweries that we talked about in the last segment, and we deliver there. We deliver papers there, and I think it was about, it might have been about 11 o'clock at night, but their tap room was still open. It was probably a Friday or Saturday.
Which is late for a tap room.
Pretty late for a tap. It might have been earlier, but it was at night. Yeah. It was dark. And somebody thought I was their Uber and jumped into my car. Completely, just like jumped, like opened the car door and got into my car.
You're like, dude.
I was like, well, it was a young lady.
Okay, you're like,
and look,
ma'am.
If I'm not her dad, but I would not, if I were a young lady, I would not get into a car driven by someone who looks like me.
No, I wouldn't either. At night, not at 11 o'clock at night.
So double check your
Ubers.
Sure.
And I'm glad, you know, I'm glad you didn't steal the fare.
No, either. I didn't. I mean, I thought about driving. But, you know, it's. I mean, I'm in journalism. I can always use money. So.
But as a father, you probably said, young lady, that's very good that you're taking Uber. I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
But I'm not the Uber.
Yeah. I wish I was that cool. I was like, hey, get out of my car.
Really ask the person before you jump in.
Yeah.
I think I always go like, are you, you know, the Uber guy?
Yep.
Usually.
And if there's like a long pause.
Should be a matching car description as well.
Yeah. Is it bad if they just go, yeah, I'm the Uber driver. Get on in. Get on in this car.
Yeah. It's me.
Do you use Uber?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I saw Alice Cooper recently.
Yeah.
And went to Max Barge, which used to be the oldest Sutherland.
Yeah.
And had a couple drinks and decided, and I was with somebody else who was fine, but I was like, let's just Uber over to Chrysler Hall.
Yeah.
Leave the car here, you know, have a couple drinks there, and then we'll Uber, you know, Uber back and get the car. It was just so much easier.
Yeah.
It was cheap.
That's good.
You didn't have to deal with parking, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah, that's good to think about.
So I wonder how that Uber is going to work at the Strawberry Festival.
Interesting, yeah. Right.
So, I don't know how close they can get you to drop you off on Memorial Day weekend to the world-renowned
Pungo Strawberry Festival.
That's another thing.
It's in your book. Right?
It is in my book.
And so the
how can you leave it out?
Gosh, you can't. And
you can't.
And Pungo is. Imagine some people who live outside the area are going to listen to this. So Pungo is kind of the gateway to the rural part of Virginia Beach, effectively. And the joke about Pungo is it has one stoplight. And so there's actually an old song about the stoplight in Pungo that if you ever go to an event in Pungo, somebody will sing for you. And agriculture is a big part of Virginia Beach, which I think is probably something that maybe tourists don't know about when they come here.
They probably don't. No, I mean, it's one thing when I moved here, was blown away and right off met with the ag director because of the agricultural reserve program was sort of happening at that point.
Oh gosh,
25 years ago.
Yeah,
20 years ago.
Yeah, it was the mid to late 90s when it started.
Yeah. And sat down with Lewis Culifer.
Yeah.
Everybody knows the Culifers, obviously. He told me that Virginia Beach had the Picayune. And I said, I have no idea what you're talking about. I know that's a newspaper in New Orleans.
Yep.
But I have no idea what. Can you write that down?
Yeah.
He goes, P-I-C-K. Y-O-U. And I was like, I'm such an idiot.
Yep.
So it took me a while to get my ear adjusted to the accent. But that's when I learned what was going on down there.
Yeah.
I learned that it just, you know, a third of the city. Right? Is it a third or is it half? I mean, it's
It's about half the city.
Huge,
is in the rural area.
Huge rural. I mean, it's so amazing to travel down in Pungo and beyond in Creeds and see. You just don't feel like you're in the same city anymore.
Yeah.
You just don't. You can't believe how sprawled out the city is and how beautiful it is down there.
Right. So Lewis Culifer, he's a former ag director in Virginia Beach, but he also is part of a very old family farm that operates.
They're everywhere now.
They're
at farmers markets.
They're at farmers markets.
Farms. Yeah.
Yeah. But most people probably know the Berry Patch, which is deep in the county, the Culifer Berry Patch, and then there's the Culifer Farm Market. I think that's in the 1300 block of Princess Anne Road or thereabouts.
Right.
But they do pick your own strawberries, and my wife's family also does pick your own strawberries. Now we live two parcels north of a strawberry patch, and since we live in what they call downtown Pungo,
Right there at the crossroads?
At the crossroads, yeah. We're not mentioned in the song yet.
No, but, don't give it all away.
I won't. Sorry. but I mean, every Memorial Day weekend, there's this big festival in Pongo, and I think the estimate is that they're expecting 120,000 people to come this year.
It's huge.
Yeah,
it's in a little tiny area.
Yeah.
But it's fun, mm-hmm. especially if you have kids.
Yeah.
I used to take my daughter to the festival. She's just turned 19.
Wow.
So that shows you how long ago that was. But I know we did the petting. They had the little
the
donkey or pony rides or something. And the 4-H stuff going on there. And then just any kind of strawberry concoction that you can think of.
Yeah.
So don't have any strawberries between now and Memorial Day, and then you'll be ready to devour them.
I'm probably going to get in a lot of trouble if anyone who's a farmer hears you say that. But
I'm sorry. You can pick your own and freeze them and then eat them after the strawberry festival. But don't overdo it, because you'll want to overdo it there, because it's a lot to do. And lots of, games and rides and things like that.
Yeah.
Military comes out.
Yeah.
Military comes out to showcase some of their stuff and their people, and that's a lot of fun for the kids as well.
Yeah, did they have pig races when you went?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I've seen a pig race, but I don't know if it was there.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. That's apparently a big draw.
Okay.
And I hadn't really, we've been, because it's, it's a family work weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, in the past, before I started the paper, I was always working, so, I was working in the fields or something like that. So I didn't really get around a whole lot. We'd walk around with the girls, but.
Right.
But they have pig races, which is a big deal, and they do, they run, I think it's 3 times a day, and it's like...
Are they big pigs?
No, they're little tiny pigs, but they're like really racing, they're like going.
Determined.
Yeah.
That's funny, I wonder how they train.
Oreos. They use Oreos, that's actually
they do? Train.
Yeah, one of the writers did a story on it.
Okay, that's funny.
Yeah.
Do the girls like it, your girls?
It's strawberries, candy, hamburgers, hot dogs, music, pig races.
Right.
There's not a lot there that kids don't like.
Yeah,
so.
No, it's true. It's definitely a must.
Yeah.
Especially if you have kids. So.
And especially if you're locked in, as we are, because we live on
the route. Right, you can just walk there.
Yeah.
So, I say go early, stay late. I don't know.
Right.
Sometimes it can be a challenge to park down there, but...
So... We'll go early. Yeah. That's
go early.
Yeah, and so strawberries are kind of the big, kind of our big, really April time frame produce crop that a lot of people come and do the pick your own. That's a big draw down where we are.
I need to get out there and pick my own before they're gone.
Yeah, the berries they're gone right now.
Are they gone already?
They're not gone, but they're going strong.
They're good. Right. It's a good time. Yeah. That's why I need to do that. It's a very relaxing thing to do. And mm-hmm. did that when my daughter was little as well.
Yeah.
And I know you can go get pumpkins in the fall at some of these places as well. So they offer different varieties of stuff depending on the season.
Well, when I was I grew up in a city, and so my knowledge of farms was almost entirely field trips to get a pumpkin in the fall, and then
right.
So you leave the concrete,
right.
You drive out. It's called Sharpner's Farm in Rhode Island. You go, you get a pumpkin. They load you back on the bus, and you never see green again for another year.
It's funny.
Yeah, now I live in the middle of it. So.
Yeah, no, you're right, which is amazing. Speaking of, you're probably right near the Virginia Beach Airport, then, which is also in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Went to an event there several years ago, because I think it was either 50th or 55th, maybe, of one of the battles. Now I can't even remember what it is.
Yeah.
Cut that out.
But
it was neat.
Yeah.
They had a big band there. The women were walking in with snoods. And we could see all of the planes and the hangars and things like that. And it's actually a really great historical place to visit.
Yeah, so
and they work.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's very cool too.
Well, you can get rentals in the biplanes.
Yeah,
yeah.
You can, right,
crazy.
Which I think is you can actually do that. They'll take you up for a nominal fee.
Yeah. So the Virginia Beach Airport is the home of what's called the Military Aviation Museum, and for people who are outside the area, there's World War I and World War II era aircraft that are functioning, and they do these amazing
air shows.
Yeah, warbirds
on the beach. Over
did
the beach.
Miss that? Is that this month?
That's coming up pretty quick.
Yeah, might even be this week.
I think by the time this runs, that will have just passed.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a neat place, and I believe the museum part of it is nonprofit and largely volunteer driven.
Yeah.
And it's pretty. They have a museum and the whole bit.
And don't forget the dinosaurs.
The dinosaurs. Yeah, not. I mean, my kids are. You know, they pass by it all the time.
Yeah, so it's they're used to it, but
they have these kind of giant statues.
I guess they're statues.
Not actual dinosaurs.
No, but they're big.
Yeah.
And they greet you when you're driving back to the museum.
Yeah.
It may startle you for a minute.
It may. Yeah.
But it's a great, you know, every time I'm down there, I see kids out with their parents mm-hmm. looking at the dinosaur.
So there are at least two other places I want to ask you about. One is Old Pongo Ferry Road, which made the book. So how did you find that place?
Found actually Captain George's seafood restaurant, which was down there off Old Pongo Ferry Road. I think they were finishing up the bridge. I don't even know if the bridge was open yet.
Wow.
Went down there and, you know, ate like pigs. Came out and, you know, talked to fishermen and just enjoyed just, you know, being in the middle of nowhere and having this great buffet.
Right.
And, went to a couple, you know, they would have... when I was a reporter, they would have events there too, and I'd have to go cover whatever it would be, like some political event. So I was pretty bummed out when they tore it down, but then realized that it cleared the way for this, you know, this beautiful dead end road. You know, once the bridge opened up, and the city eventually saw that would be a great place to put a park, and so since the book has come out, I do mention the book, but it has since opened.
Yeah.
And I went to the dedication of that, and you can, you know, they have benches, and you can launch your kayak or
a boat. Larger boats
And so it's and then there are geese there. I mean, I think I remember geese running around and all that stuff. So ducks, and it's just a great peaceful place to go. You know, you might be able to see a yacht going through on the Intercoastal Waterway, or you can just, you know, watch the cars going over that big tall bridge.
Yeah,
it's
that bridge
cool.
It's an amazing spot. Yeah. And so the location was where Captain George's was, and there was a marina there that a lot of local people and people who travel on the Intercoastal Waterway know. And so that is closed, but the city used open space money to purchase the property, which might have been developed otherwise. And it is really a terrific park. It's a place that I go to just to kind of sit and have lunch sometimes. And my understanding is that at some point they're going to try to develop the back section where the marina is, which is closed right now. But
that would be nice as well.
Yeah. So one of the reasons that park is actually really popular right now, among others, it's just a nice park, but there's no launch fee. For boats, so a lot of people are using that. That's a great location. So the another one that I wanted to ask you about was Sandbridge.
Yeah.
It's funny that this past, I guess it was Saturday morning, I was delivering newspapers to Sandbridge.
Yeah.
And it was probably, I think I got there at 5:30 and, you know, made the stops and filled the boxes and all the stuff that you do to put the newspaper out. And I was actually there for sunrise. And that if when we talk about the podcast going, I'll probably include my sunset photo that I took. But you make that recommendation, seeing the sunrise at Sandbridge.
Yeah,
you know, why?
Again, you know, Sandbridge, at least when I got here, was didn't have sewer. Mm-hmm. It didn't, you know, city sewer and that sort of thing. So it was a pretty serene place. You could just go, and I used to take my daughter there when, you know, I'd go into work later, and we would go down before I had to take her to daycare, and we would just go down and literally be like one of four people on the beach, hanging out for a couple hours, and I found that, you know, just absolutely delightful and such a great way to introduce her to the beach and have fun. And then in 2001. Which I can't believe is 16 years ago. Mm-hmm. My entire family came from Ohio, and we rented a couple beach houses at Sandbridge. It was December, although it was a nice day. Yeah. My mom and dad renewed their vows for their 50th anniversary.
Oh, wow.
And I got up and watched the sunrise that morning of their anniversary, and just found it, again, to just be absolutely peaceful and beautiful. And eventually did a freelance story on a man who watches and takes pictures of that sunrise every day.
Yeah.
Sandbridge Sunrise on Facebook, if you see it.
I saw him.
He has some amazing, he has some amazing pictures. I don't know how he does it, but every day. So you can see how beautiful it is every day, even though the pictures don't do it justice necessarily. But I just find it to be just a great little treasure. Again, like, it's this place, and you're in the city of Virginia Beach, but you forget it sometimes because it's so different than the oceanfront.
Yeah.
You know, but you got that gorgeous ocean out there. So.
Yeah. Well, I really love it early in the morning, and unless I'm working, I'm not really a, you know, get up at 5 o'clock in the morning kind of guy. But when I was out there, there was a guy sleeping under a blanket with a surfboard next to him. There were two young friends who were sitting on a wall blowing bubbles. One had a guitar. I should take a picture of them.
Yeah,
it was a little interesting. I don't blow bubbles a lot, but you know, I've lost the joy.
So. Yeah, I feel kind of bad I didn't have them when I watched my sunrise 16 years ago.
So. And then there were just people out walking, you know, people who were
locals
and renting and that time of the morning. And by then it was probably close to 6 o'clock. Yeah. It was just before sunrise, but it's a neat place. And the Sandbridge Sunrise guy is one of the owners of Baja Coffee, which is a new place that opened up in the Baja. It's in the morning time.
He's also a veteran. He's a former SEAL. Absolutely.
Yeah, so he's a deep sea diver. I think he worked with the SEALs.
And he also works with J&A Racing.
Does he?
Yeah, he volunteers. Yeah. I think he volunteers. But I've seen him at a couple of the races, greeting people when they run over the finish line sweaty, waiting for their coveted medal.
Yeah.
Which is fun. So yeah, he's around. So
that's good.
People need to, you know, check out his Facebook page.
Yeah, I'll
give
put
him
a link
plug.
To that. That's good. Good.
So yeah. So I mean, you know, if you're down there, you have to wake up and see it. And I mean, the sunsets are great too.
Yeah.
In different parts of the city, but I mean, you know, there's something special about a Sandbridge sunrise.
Yeah, that's great. So anything I should have asked you about, but I was too dumb to think of it.
No, there's you know, what I like about this book, or just about just getting out and exploring it all, is that you know, you might find 10 other things that you like to do that aren't in the book, you know, but just get out there and do some things and see what you like to do and be thankful that you have these kinds of things to do in your city. That there were, you know, like, people would joke like, oh wait, there are 100 things to do in Virginia Beach, and I'd go, yeah, there are 100 things to do in Virginia Beach and more. I just didn't have the time to, you know, the list was 100 things. I had to cut it off. And so, you know, there are great restaurants. There are great things to do. Just go out and try it.
Yeah.
You know, watch the Jets. Just, you know, it's this other everyday stuff that we take for granted. Mm-hmm. And, you know, think about what they do for us and, you know, every day. You know, and how lucky we are to have them risking their lives for us every day. And, you know, just things like that. It's just... And there are a lot of great restaurants. There's a lot of fun. So I had fun revisiting stuff.
Yeah.
Like the Haunted Mansion at the ocean.
Yeah.
That was, be careful. It's
Yeah, I don't like that
scary.
Stuff. I'm not into that at all.
I came off the bloody toe. I don't know.
Was it your toe or was it somebody
my
else's toe?
Yeah, no.
Was it in your pocket?
It was literally my toe.
Okay.
Yeah, but it was still attached.
Oh, that's good.
It was, but it was great fun.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if you like that stuff, I mean, it's right here. Like, literally, it's right here.
Yeah.
The Dairy Queen is even fun. I mean, I went down there, and I've been sort of, you know, posting stuff on my Facebook now as I continue to do stuff.
Right.
I went to the She Crab soup tasting, which was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. I just had a blast. And then went down to the Dairy Queen, maybe it was March, whenever they first opened. It was a little chilly. You know, it actually was a lot chilly, and there were probably, you know, 30 people down there.
Right.
Just eating a cone and watching people, you know, walk around.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty cool to me.
I guess when I first got here, I was in the Navy, and I think I thought of Virginia Beach as really just the oceanfront, because that's what we did. And it really wasn't until I worked at the beach for the pilot, maybe, where I really started to... I mean, you know, through my wife's family, I knew about Pungo, but, you know, we only went to help out or for family functions and that kind of thing.
Here,
Before we were really, you know, living there and
taking it in.
Yeah. And I find now that some of my favorite things to do have nothing to do with the oceanfront in
which
the city.
Which is true.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And, like, Sanford is a big one. I mean, we have young kids, so we just you know, that's our beach. That's where we go. We don't mess with the ocean front.
Yeah, that's. Yeah. I love being able, because we lived down near Strawbridge for a while, and so it was such a great place to take Lauren. It was, even though she had no fear. Did your daughters have no fear of those waves?
Yes.
Or, you know, like 2 years old, like literally making a mad dash into this, you know, 30-foot wave coming over your head, and you're like.
Also, so you have in the book The Fishing Purist. I fish. Yeah. And
do you fish well?
No, I probably shouldn't even say that I fish.
I just cast.
I cast, right? I've been running a welfare program for crabs. Have you ever fished off the pier?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So what happens is I use squid for bait.
Okay.
And I'm happy if I get a nice croaker or some spot or something like that. I'm a happy guy. But what happens is there are a ton of crabs. I usually fish at the oceanfront pier. That's where I went when I fish more regularly. And what happens is the crabs get the bait, and then they hang on. And so you will give them a ride up to the pier, and then they drop off. And more often than not, the crabs, I will find that the crabs have taken the bait off my hook. I fish with, for the locals, I fish with a Chesapeake rig with two snells with squid, you know, just cut up squid.
Right.
And they get my bait. So
you have to bring like 3 to 5 pounds of squid.
We don't need to get too specific.
No.
But if there are like unusually like big, strong looking crabs, that's because I've been feeding them.
Right.
Yeah.
Catch one, you see it dropping on the way down.
Yeah.
Say hi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, John. They can only say thanks.
Yeah. That's one of the things.
That's fun.
Yeah, but the stuff in the southern part of the city I've enjoyed doing, but really just getting to different places in the beach is pretty neat. And what I like about the book is that it's not just about the oceanfront. A lot of great things to do at the oceanfront, but there's so much more to the city.
I tried to hit some of the high points in different parts of the city. I wanted to make sure I hit that. I covered the city.
Yeah.
Because there are definitely places that people don't know about.
Yeah. And there's a ton of stuff that we haven't mentioned. I mean, you've got historic homes in there.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. Those are weird.
The old Coast Guard station, the Atlantic Wildfowl Heritage Museum, which is terrific.
I love to go to that every time. I love to go to the Wildfowl Museum. It used to be a house. It used to be somebody's house.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it's, you know, it's cool to go in there. And I have a friend who actually used to stay there.
At DeWitt Cottage?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
She knew the DeWitt family or whoever it is.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's neat to talk to her about those days.
Yeah.
Her dad owned Pine Tree Inn, which is no longer.
Mm-hmm.
But that was like a big spot, almost as, I think, as popular as Steinhilber's.
Wow.
Which is also in the book. I mean, things have changed here, and I know people lament that, but I don't think they've changed that much, and I think people need to get out there and take a look around. They'd be surprised.
That's great. Well, let's leave it there. Tony, thank you so much.
Well, John, thank you. And thank you for starting a newspaper in this day and age as, you know, an old soul journalist. It's just great to see what you're doing with the newspaper. So I appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
We're
trying to keep it going. It's my very weird midlife crisis.
Could be weirder.
Yeah. So Tony Guigenti is the author of 100 Things to Do in Virginia Beach Before You Die. As I've said, and I'll just keep repeating it, you can get this readily throughout the region at various places, online through booksellers such as Amazon and Barnes & Noble. The website is www.100thingsvb.com or 100thingsvb.com. And there's a Facebook page, and you can reach Tony through the Facebook page. We mentioned the Strawberry Festival. Pungo Strawberry Festival is coming up Memorial Day weekend 2017. If you're listening to this after that, you will have to wait for the next Memorial Day. But there's a festival every Memorial Day weekend right in Pungo, Virginia. You can learn about the festival at pungostrawberryfestival.info, I-N-F-O. You'll probably see me there because I live there, and there's no getting out of Pungo during the festival.
You're stuck.
Yeah, plus my kids have control of the wallet that weekend. So this has been the second edition of what we're calling Paincast, which is a podcast produced by Pungo Publishing Company, LLC. The Princess Anne Independent News is on social media, including Facebook and Twitter, via @PungoPublishing. And we also have a website, www.princessanneindy.com. Anne has an E. And thank you for listening. If you're local, please find our little newspaper in print. It's always at Monk's Place. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so I'm recording.
three rooms.
I tell you, yeah.